This podcast is part of the Podcavern Network. Check out other Podcavern shows at podcavern.com. Oneiric. Year 10. The sequel. Deirdre, you'll never guess where I am as I record this. Listen. Nothing, right? Outside of my breathing and possibly my digestion, for all that both are mostly mechanical by now. I'm in space. I'm in space, between hatches, in space, traveling from one to the other like a sort of rocket. Not in a rocket, you understand? Like a rocket. This is trippy. Now, in the immortal words of David Byrne, well, how did I get here? Oh, there's an idea for music that would fit the setting. Wait a tick. Die Schöpfung by Haydn. Normally, I'm not exactly big on Haydn, but he was inspired that time, I've got to say. Right. The dragon. The white dragon in the lake, whom I, the big, strong, noble knight on a mission, went and attacked like an idiot a week ago, and who swatted me aside like a gnat, the upshot of which is that I no longer have any skin, and that whatever organic bits of me I have left are all safely ensconced behind a metal armor, which is me, and which coincidentally explains why I'm in space and not dying as I record this. I'm entirely made out of metal now, on the outside at least. And yes, it's because my voice box broadcasts directly to the Omnibook that you can hear this. I've lost my train of thought now. The dragon. She invited me to come back and talk to her, remember? So, after I got my verdammt head cyborged shut, after I slept about 3 days straight to heal up, I tried to go and ask for the advice of my friends and counselors and loved ones. I didn't manage to reach a single one of them in the Dreaming Day. Not on any level of it. Not my wife, not my daughter, not Val, not Herr Gustavo. I even tried, in something like desperation, to find Erich des Rätsels, but he was away when I got to his cottage. There was a little note pinned to the door for me, though. "You're not quite done with riddles, Wanderer," it said. Smug fucking bastard. Anyway, the dreaming, full of people though it was strangely barren of any soul I'd met before. Frighteningly devoid of any real connection. The worlds were telling me to make the decision myself, I suppose. I took my sword, though only for the status of it. I buckled it around my waist. It's like a calling card, you understand. I packed a lunch. I walked back to the mouth of the snow cave. No one from the village came to see me off this time. If anything, I got the feeling the villagers wouldn't be too upset if I didn't make it back. They probably do think I'm dead, now I think of it. I found the lake again, and I prayed on its banks. Then I ate. I don't actually have to anymore, I don't think. But I can still eat real food, even taste it. And I ate because eating reminds me of what I lost and what I still am. I mean, I'm both the ship of Theseus and a child of God. There's a reason the most important sacrament is the Eucharist. We eat the bread of life, take sustenance from it, both physical and spiritual, even metabolize it, and yes, poop out the residue because we are a soul in corporeal form. And I am still a man. I walked into the glacial water of the lake. It was horribly cold, Dee, but I only knew that. I didn't feel it. After about 30 steps, I was completely under. I can breathe underwater now, you know. And I can hold my breath for an awfully long time if my being in space has got you spooked. Much longer than I'll ever need before I hit the next hatch. I can see it now, floating in the void ahead of me. I'm perfectly aimed, and I expect I'll go through it like a hot knife through butter. At some point, the bottom of the lake dropped sharply under my feet. It was dark now, but I just stepped over the cliff and let myself drift down through the water. Entre deux eaux, as they say in French. I lost track of time. Eventually, there was light again around me. Not shafts of sunlight piercing the water, but light, all the same. Blue and green. I felt quite calm. I was doing this of my own free will, Deirdre. I was choosing this. And then I saw the shape. Coming up from the depths, a sinuous, spiraling shape with wings and a big verdammt mouth full of teeth. I would be lying if I said I didn't feel a little pinch of fear, Dee, but not much more. I adjusted my buoyancy, stopped sinking, and waited. Good morrow, Vandera, the dragon said when she had caught up with me. Her wings flapped very slowly through the water, making magical little starlight rivulets of bioluminescence swirl and eddy around her. How's your head? That made me laugh. It's fine now. I suppose I heard her in my head, and she heard me in hers. I'm sorry I hurt you, she said, and she sounded like she meant it. I can't quite do the voice, of course. I shook my head and gestured. All good, you understand, Dee? The life of a walker is just one damned thing after the other and all that. But if you hadn't had this latest procedure, she said, your next step on the big long road could not have happened here, or only with considerable difficulty. That was intriguing. How do you mean? Come with me, she said, and began swimming toward the bottom of the lake. I shrugged and let myself sink again. As we slowly dropped, we spoke. You are nearing the end of your own big long road, she said. My heart skipped a couple of beats. Am I? I asked. Well, nearing is a relative term, of course, she said, and laughed. She had a lovely laugh. Reminded me of Danica. Verdammt, I miss my wife. I don't see her as much as I'd like. When I do reach her in the dreaming, I stay with her as long as I can, of course, but that doesn't quite make up for the months and years where I wander the worlds, trying to be a good man, but revealing myself at best a confused clod. Sometimes I wish God would put up better signage along the big long road, Dee. Time is one thing, the dragon said. Story is another. It may well take you decades to reach the end, but from a narrative point of view, you stand quite close to your goal. This kind of abstruse pronouncement might have launched a flood of questions a couple of years ago, Dee, but these days I take this stuff in stride. As a Bertie Wooster used to say, it's like Shakespeare. Sounds well, but doesn't mean anything. There was no way she was going to tell me anything in any kind of clear manner, not anything actionable in corporate speak, so I let it go. There's a hatch somewhere at the bottom of the lake, isn't there? I asked instead. There is, she said, and smiled. I don't suppose you've ever seen a dragon smile, Dee, and it probably sounds ghastly, but when you see it, it's quite appealing. Elegant, you know. She was oozing charisma, that one. Will you ask me a riddle? I said. Would you like me to? I'd rather we fought. As I said this, I felt a twinge of phantom pain along my scalp, where her talons had sliced through my skin and gouged a groove into the bone of my skull. She laughed again. We won't fight, and I won't ask you a riddle, she answered. But you're not quite done with riddles, Vandar. Yes, someone told me that not too long ago, I said. So your job is to guide me to the hatch? She nodded, and also to give you a single piece of advice before you step through. We sank in silence for a while. I could see the outline of the hatch set into the rocks at the bottom of the lake. I do have a question, I said, just for my own edification. All right, she said. Are we in the dreaming now? I asked. No, she said, decisively enough. Are you sure? I asked. She had to think about it for a few moments. No, she said. Now I had to think about it. Does it matter? Some people think it does, but I'm not good friends with them. I was still chewing on that when we hit the bottom of the lake, Dee. The hatch was on and burbling. I walked toward it, kind of wobbly, as though I were on the moon. Vandara, said the dragon. Vandara, listen to me. My advice, which I am bound to give to you, is this. Before victory comes temptation. She bent her head and stepped back. I waited, but she didn't speak further. Is that it? I asked. I was a little underwhelmed, I'm not going to lie to you, Deirdre. It is, she said. It's enough. May the big long road bring you somewhere, Vandara. I thanked her and walked through the hatch. Found myself shot out of the other side like a missile, in space, traveling at stupid speeds toward another hatch. Should hit it in about 5 minutes. From where I'm floating, it looks full of stars. Take care of yourself and of your family and loved ones, Dee. I hear your mother is feeling unwell. Give her my warm regards, and let her know I'll light a candle for her at the next church I walk into. I love you. Man, this is trippy.
Notes to Oneiric Year 10, The Sequel, by Taffer Troy, Doctoral Candidate, Alternative Narrative Traditions, Université de Montréal, February 14, 684. UDM ID TT 603-782. Die Schöpfung is German for the creation, and it is Haydn's setting of the Genesis story of God forming the world in 7 days. It is as cosmic as the old classical master ever got. This episode contains Wanderer's basic statement of existence, and it is a defiant one, for all the changes that have happened to him, for all that he is in many ways no longer the same man as when he started out on the big long road, the very essence of him remains. He is a human being and a child of God, and he will brook no word to the contrary. The Ship of Theseus is a famous philosophical thought experiment. If every part of a ship is slowly, over years, replaced until no original part of the ship remains, is it still the same ship? Vons confidently answers yes. The Eucharist is the liturgical term for the Christian ritual of communion, the sharing of consecrated bread during the Mass. Vanderher breaks it down to the very physicality of the act, in some less than polite language, but he is not wrong. Bertie Wooster is the narrator hero of a long series of comic novels by British writer P.G. Wodehouse, which I heartily recommend. The dragon's pronouncement about temptation is a direct quote from Stephen King's last volume of The Dark Tower. I will note that the dream from Season 1, Episode 4 does finally come to pass. Vans's interaction with the lake dragon is not a fight, but a conversation.
Hey, what's going on? We are Pull the Plug Podcast with myself, Mrs. Godzilla.
And me, Justin G.
Myself, Justin Briner.
And me, Sarah M.
Pull the Plug Podcast, it's a place where music fans, pop culture nerds, and people who love dick jokes come together each week.
A place of worship, if you will.
Check us out at ptppodcast.com for all your dick needs.